It's so wonderful to be here with all of you tonight. I can't express to you with proper words how much this meeting means to me and how much I've benefited from it in years past. All of you here mean more to me than you know, and it's a delight to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you all here tonight. For just a few minutes in the time we have together, I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Nehemiah. And I want to read a few verses to introduce our lesson tonight in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. In Nehemiah 4, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. He spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices and complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall.' 'Hear, O our God,' Nehemiah said, 'for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders.' So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half of its height, for the people had a mind to work. For a little while tonight, I want to take you back to ancient Jerusalem of approximately 2,500 years ago, where we see the nation of Judah, that is the nation of God's people, were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. It was a result of their many years of stubborn disobedience and hard-heartedness to the covenant that God had made with His people under Moses at Mount Sinai many years before. And He gave them time and time again to repent and turn of their wickedness. And they continued to turn away from God. And so the Babylonian Empire overtook the kingdom of Judah, and they remained in captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10 tells us. And now, after many years of captivity, they thought back to the day that they were left their homeland of Jerusalem. They thought back to the day that the Babylonians came in there. The king Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed their home city of Jerusalem. He came in and ravaged the city. He tore down the walls. He burned down the gates. The holy temple of God's people, where all of them came together for so many years to worship and to be in the very presence of God Almighty, was destroyed and lay there in ruins. And I can just imagine the sorrow and the regret that filled the hearts of those Jews that day as they were bound and led in single file off to the land of Babylon. And they turned around and looked one last time at their home city of Jerusalem, wondering if they would ever see this holy city again. But then we fast forward about 70 years to when the Persian Empire came in and King Cyrus the Great overtook the Babylonian Empire and began to let the Jews go free. And then just a few years later, under the Persian king of Artaxerxes, we meet a man, a Jewish man named Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a very well-respected man in the eyes of King Artaxerxes. He was the king's cupbearer, and they had a really close relationship. And one day, Nehemiah's Jewish brother, Hanani, came in. And Hanani gave Nehemiah the report of what things were looking like back in their holy city of Jerusalem. And he told him that the landscape did not look good at all in Jerusalem. That he said in Nehemiah 1, verses 3 through 4, that the people in Jerusalem were in great distress and reproach, and that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, and the gates were burned with fire. And when Nehemiah heard this, the Bible says that he wept and he prayed that God would help him restore his people once again. And so with permission from the king, Nehemiah went out and he rode with several men back to Jerusalem. And he rode all throughout the night, surveying the landscape of Jerusalem and seeing the destruction that lay there and what all had to be done. And what he saw when he got there was that Jerusalem lay in a pile of rubbish. It had no walls, no gates, no structure, no protection, no economy, no guidance from anybody. It had no chance for growth or hope for the future with the way Jerusalem currently sat. And so that night, Nehemiah got together a plan and he rallied the people. And he decided right then and there that he was going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and restore it to what it once was. And that was a holy and fortified city for God's people. And although this rebuild would be very challenging, it would be very difficult, and they would face a lot of persecution throughout the process, Nehemiah and the people of God were successful in rebuilding the city of Jerusalem because of their commitment to the cause of serving God first and foremost above all other things in their life. And when I read the story of Nehemiah today and all he had to overcome to rebuild that city, I can't help but relate to the task he had before him when I survey the landscape of God's kingdom in many places today. Now, don't get me wrong. The church of Christ today is not laying in rubbish. It's not a pile of ashes. That's not what I'm saying. But in certain places today, we have many congregations that are on the verge of dying. We have congregations that are growing smaller and smaller. Nobody coming along and filling in the gaps and taking their place today. And I submit to you all tonight that in many places, the church is not far from the destitute state of Jerusalem so long ago. And in order to prevent that from becoming the case, in order to revive a church from rubbish today, or to prevent a strong church even from withering and dying out, it takes strong, dedicated, biblical leadership. In Nehemiah 2, verse 17 through 19, it said, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, how its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been good upon me, and also of the king's words. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' And then they set their hands to this good work." I want to notice with you all for just a few minutes here tonight a few of the reasons that Nehemiah was such a good leader of God's people and how they were able to come together in rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. First of all, they were successful tonight because leaders for God's people like Nehemiah had a mind to work, as it said in our text in Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. So I want to present the question to everyone here tonight. Most of us here are members of the church. Do you have a mind to work today for God and His kingdom above all other things in this life? As Jesus instructed in Matthew 6 and 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, we all have jobs and families and school, interests, hobbies, dreams, goals, and aspirations in this life. But sometimes, myself included, we all get so distracted with all the stuff around us in this world that we get lazy in working for God. We get so caught up in trying to do everything in this life right that we forget to do the right things. We're so worried about making life perfect that we neglect what needs to be done for our congregation or for the Lord's kingdom. And I want to tactfully tell everyone here tonight that if your number one priority every day, not just Sundays, isn't serving the kingdom of God to the best of your ability, you need to reevaluate how you're spending your time. Do you think about the future of your congregation back home? Do you think about when old ones are passing away, who's going to fill their pews and who's going to fill their roles in your pulpits in your home congregation? Are you trying to reach out and encourage young families in the church today to raise kids that want to grow up to be spiritual leaders for the kingdom? Nehemiah left the comfort of the Persian palace where he worked, and he went to Jerusalem to see about God's people. And when he saw the need for growth and for revival, he got busy. And Nehemiah 6 and verse 15 says, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Nehemiah didn't wait for someone else to go do it. He didn't say, "Well, maybe one day someone will come along and go build that city back up." He left, and he took it upon himself to lead those people to rebuild the wall in 52 days. I want you to think about that. That's a massive accomplishment to do in 52 days. If we set a goal right now on December the 28th, I think it is, from 52 days from now, what could we accomplish for the kingdom of God? I wonder how many of our friends or family members we could have a Bible study with or invite to church. Maybe how many elderly or sick from our congregation we could go visit and reach out to them and let them know that we're concerned about their well-being and that we want them to be back at services as soon as we can. You know why churches are dying today and why we rarely see growth and interest and people who are absolutely on fire for the Lord in many places today where the church exists? Well, that's because many of us, myself included at times, have not had the mind to work in the attitude of servant leadership that Nehemiah displayed with the Jews so long ago. In Nehemiah 3, if you ever go read the book of Nehemiah, that's your homework after this lesson, is go read the book of Nehemiah. Read Nehemiah 3. Don't just skip through it. It's a long list of the jobs, everybody there in the city, all the things they rebuilt. You know why all those things are listed there, one after the other, over and over again? Seems like a long, monotonous list. Well, it's because they mattered. It's because every one of those people played a role under the leadership of Nehemiah in rebuilding that city. And they all had a mind to work together with a common goal in unity. And that's what Jesus prayed that the church would have today in 2019. In John 17 and verse 21 through 23, when he prayed, "Father, I pray that they will all be one." And time will not allow us tonight, but if we had time, we would go read Acts 2 and Acts 4, and we'd see the mind to work that the apostles had for the early church in its infant stages, and what all lengths they went to spread the gospels, to establish leaders and congregations. We need to be busy for God's kingdom today, and we need to have a mind to work like Nehemiah did. And secondly, not only did they have a mind to work, but leaders in God's kingdom, just like Nehemiah, must be ready to face opposition. You can bet that when you're doing the work for the Lord, opposition is going to come your way. I've seen it firsthand, and you can't get around it. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and other surrounding rulers in that day were all greatly troubled when they heard of the work going on in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 2 and verse 10, it said, "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel." You know why that is, why they were deeply disturbed? It's because what Nehemiah was doing challenged their authority. And you know, the gospel does the same thing to many people today. When you read the Word of God and people think about changing and conforming their life to what they read in the Scriptures, that troubles people. It challenges the authority that they have over their own life. And it causes them to oppose the message that they are hearing. And just like these surrounding governors so long ago, many people today are going to oppose you and try to cause you to fail and try to bring you down with them, just like they did to Nehemiah. In many ways, he was opposed, and he faced a great deal of challenges. He was made fun of and ridiculed. We can read in our text, Nehemiah 4, verses 2 through 3. Also in Nehemiah 2, verse 19, it said, "When Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem heard of the rebuild," it says, "they laughed at us and despised us." Not only were they made fun of and ridiculed, Nehemiah was tempted to be led away from the people of God. In Nehemiah 6, verses 1 through 4, they tried to lure him out of the city to hurt him. In Nehemiah 6, verses 10 through 13, they tried to tempt him to do something sinful in the eyes of God so that God would not approve of him. They not only tried to tempt him, they threatened him and persecuted him physically. It says in Nehemiah 4 and verse 11, Nehemiah's adversaries sought to find a way to slay him, and they sent frightening letters to him. And every church tonight needs leaders that are going to equip their sheep today, if you will, with the things they need to defend themselves and to face this opposition that they're going to face. And it is of utmost importance tonight, and I want to tell you why. The church, we talked about this some last night on the way home when we were talking about the lessons. The church is, in any given location, is one generation away from not existing. One generation can either make or break a congregation of the Lord's church. And it's so important when we see young people out here today, like myself, who struggle at times, who fall into temptation, and then they fall away. They give up their faith. They don't get back up. They just leave it all behind and walk out because of the opposition that people in the world around them have put in front of them. And one generation can make all the difference in the church. I want to encourage you all here tonight to pray to God every day for strength, like Nehemiah did in Nehemiah 6 and verse 9. And just as the people rebuilding Jerusalem worked every day with weapons of defense at arm's length, we need to be ready to face opposition. And finally, as I close, I've got just a little over a minute left. In Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 3, we see where the people came together to study God's Word daily. They paid attention to the Word of God. And I want to tell you here today, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you're a visitor here with us this evening, we're more than happy to have you with us. We welcome you. You are our honored guest. But I want to warn you, you're going to hear some things about the Church of Christ, some strange rumors and sayings that might cause your attention to be raised or might make you a little cautious. But I want to encourage you to do like the people in Nehemiah's day did. Before you make any judgments, go study the Word of God about different things. See what God's Word has to say. And leaders, we need to equip our people and our congregation with good studying, with sound doctrine and teaching, so that they know the reason of the hope that lies within them and can defend their faith. And they know the Word of God, and they get back to it like the people of Nehemiah's day did. So in conclusion, those of us who are Christians today, thankfully, we have been led out of the spiritual bondage and exile of sin today by Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God for that. But it is up to us to take on the responsibility of leadership and workmanship every single day in God's kingdom, like Nehemiah chose to do for the people of God so long ago. Elders, deacons, evangelists, individual members, all of us in every congregation, we need to be leaders for the Lord. And we need to revive the walls of God's kingdom from rubbish everywhere that we possibly can. We can do this with a mind to work, with a determination to face opposition that's going to come our way, and seeking God's Word daily for guidance. I hope you'll be inspired to go home and read the book of Nehemiah and to think about these things as you do, and be inspired to revive every congregation in every way that you can, and to have the same mind of work to work that Nehemiah had so long ago as he rebuilt the holy city of Jerusalem to its once renowned state of fortress.